And what I'm going to do as we prepare to baptize our covenant son, Gabriel, I'm going to be reading from the OPC Book of Church Order. Often we call it the Black Book. And I'm going to be sharing with you what it teaches about baptism, and it's going to guide us through the baptism service. I would appreciate your paying attention. I know it'll be a little bit long, but I think it's just really lovely and well put together, and I'd like to just read from that rather than mostly my own words, and then we'll baptize our son. Let me read what the prerequisites are first. For a child to be presented for baptism, at least one parent must be a communicant member of the church in good standing, normally of the local congregation. In order to present a child for baptism, parents shall make prior arrangements with the session. Only parents who are communicant members of the church may be permitted to take parental vows. If the season shall judge it appropriate, a parent who is not a communicant member may stand with the spouse during the baptism. In such a circumstance, it shall be the duty of the minister to inform the congregation of the situation that one parent's not a member of this congregation, not taking the vows. In extraordinary circumstances, the parent's request, the session may permit the baptism of a child of parents who are communicant members of another church, which is approved by the session, or on behalf of and with the written permission of the governing body of that church. In such case, the session shall inform the other governing body in writing when the baptism has been administered. So in this case, Fernanda is a member of the Visible Church. She's slowly working through the books written in Portuguese of our Westminster Standards. So she will be up here with me as I represent us as a covenant communicant member of this church. And she's preparing to transfer her membership as well. Let me share with you from Matthew 28. The end of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see here the end of the gospel. Christ says, make disciples, baptize them. And of course, this is something that can be done for our children, making disciples and baptizing them just as much as anyone else. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted baptism as a covenant sign and seal for his church. He uses it not only for the solemn admission of the person who is baptized into the visible church, but also to depict and to confirm his ingrafting of that person into himself and his including that person in the covenant of grace. The Lord uses baptism to portray to us that we and our children are conceived and born in sin and need to be cleansed. He uses it to witness and seal to us the remission of sins and the bestowal of all the gifts of salvation through union with Christ. Baptism with water signifies and seals cleansing from sin by the blood of the Spirit of Christ, together with our death unto sin and our resurrection unto newness of life by virtue of the death and resurrection of Christ. The time of the outward application of the sign does not necessarily coincide with the inward work of the Holy Spirit, which the sign represents and seals to us. Because the gifts of salvation are the gracious provision of the triune God, who is pleased to claim us as his very own, we are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In our baptism, the Lord puts his name on us, claims us as his own, and summons us to assume the obligations of the covenant. He calls us to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, to renounce the devil, the world, and the flesh, and to walk humbly with our God in devotion to his commandments. And I want to highlight what it said twice there in this sacrament of baptism. God claims us as his own. God claims us as his own. An exhortation to the congregation. As solemn vows are about to be made before you, and baptism is now to be administered, you who are baptized will do well to take this occasion to reflect on your own baptism. Remember where the larger catechism teaches us to improve upon our baptism. Christ has put his name and his claim on you when he baptized you. He calls you to be repentant for your sins against your covenant God, to confess your faith before men, and to live in newness of life to God, who sealed his covenant with you by the blood of his own Son. Let us review why we baptize our children. Although our young children do not yet understand these things, they are nevertheless to be baptized. For God commands that all who are under his covenant of grace be given the sign of the covenant. God made the promise of the covenant to believers and to their offspring. In the Old Testament, he declared to Abraham, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Genesis 17, verse 7. And that's the chapter where the sign of circumcision is given, which is now baptism. And children, when it says, "I will be a God to you and to your seed," the word seed means to your children. For this reason, in the Old Testament, God commanded that covenant infants be given the sign of circumcision. The covenant is the same in essence in both the Old and the New Testaments. Indeed, the grace of God for the consolation of believers is even more fully manifested in the New Testament. Thus, rather than rescinding the covenant promise to believers and to their offspring in the New Testament, God reaffirms it. He declares that the promise is unto you and to your children. Acts 2, verse 39. Reflecting the covenant of Abraham. He promises, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Acts 16, verse 31. God affirms that if even one parent is a believer, the children are holy. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. And that's obviously in terms of being represented federally. If at least one parent is a Christian, then the children are considered holy before God in the church, separate from the world, even if there's an unbelieving parent, at least if there is one. And that's why they can stay together married, is the context. But the children are representatively holy by virtue of at least one Christian parent. And if so, they're to be marked as such and recognized as such to the church and before the world. Moreover, our Savior admitted little children into his presence, embracing and blessing them and saying, "Of such is the kingdom of God." Mark 10, verse 14. And so, in the New Testament, no less than in the Old, the children of believers have an interest in the covenant and a right to the covenant sign and to the outward privileges of the covenant people, the church. Notice the outward privileges. This is an outward sacrament for the visible church, visible signs for the visible church. God knows the invisible church in our hearts. These are things done outwardly, and it's within these means of grace that God works inwardly in the elect. In the New Testament, baptism has replaced circumcision as the covenant sign. Therefore, by the covenant sign of baptism, the children of believers are to be distinguished from the world and solemnly admitted into the visible church. And in the New Testament, you see the word circumcision and baptism used interchangeably, such as in Colossians. They're understood as an overlapping meaning, the same idea. I want to highlight this part again. The covenant sign of baptism over the children of believers is to distinguish children in the church, to set them apart from the world, and to solemnly admit them into the visible church. We're saying we're raising our children as Christians. We're not leaving them unto themselves as part of the world. We're saying we are seeing and treating our children as Israelites. We are not going to countenance them as Philistines. Well, I now ask Fernanda to come up and join me with the baby, with Gabriel Samuel Van Leeuwen, and the elders will come up to assist me because I will be taking these vows as the father. Elder Maxwell will be reading the vows to us, and then I'll return to take over the service. And Elder Renner will come up. The session usually is here to show support with the receiving of a new member, as they did with the transfer of membership with our brother recently. And so I ask the elders to come now, and Elder Maxwell will lead us in this next part of the service.
Do you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to condemnation, they are holy in Christ by virtue of the covenant of grace, and as children of the covenant are to be baptized? Number two, do you promise to keep diligently to Gabriel Samuel and Luther the principles of our holy Christian faith revealed in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments and summarized in the Confession of Faith and Catechisms of this Church?
We do.
Number three, do you promise to pray regularly with and for Gabriel and to set an example of piety and godliness before them?
We do.
And last, do you promise to endeavor by all means that God has appointed to bring Gabriel up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, encouraging him to appropriate for himself the blessings and fulfill the obligations of the covenant, and to let him know the danger of God's wrath to you and the child if you be negligent? Let us pray. O Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we pray for your blessing, O Triune God. We pray that your grace, signified and sealed by baptism, may be abundantly realized on this child, our covenant son, Gabriel Samuel Benjamin. We thank you for this gift from you. We thank you for hearing our cry and giving it to us. But we recognize here that you own him. He's a child of the covenant, a child of the church, so we recognize this and formally see him as admitted into this church and into the church, the visible church of Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we obey you with our God-given duty to mark our child as Christ and not the devil's, as we mark him as part of the church and not of the world, that you would help us to raise him up as such, that we would raise him in fear and admonition of the Lord. We do pray, Lord, that you would even see fit already to have faith in Christ, and out of his mouth truly you would ordain praise, that you would perfect praise and ordain strength. Lord, we ask for your special blessing on this service, that it would be according to your ordinance and pleasing to you, but also indeed that it would be what it is to be, a means of grace, that Gabriel will be called up to look upon his baptism and say, I am baptized, I have been claimed by Christ, and that you would bless his heart to love Christ and serve him all his days. Lord, that you would grant that he would be not only part of the visible church, that you would see fit that he would also be part of the invisible church, and he would look back on his baptism and improve upon it all of his life. We do thank you, Lord, for this church and our covenant children, and that you are adding to our church through this covenant child. We ask your blessing upon this service, and again, that the water that we now set apart to be used, and as we perform this sacrament, that it will be pleasing to you, because you have told us to recognize the church as separate from the world. We pray indeed that you would be part of a holy nation and a kingdom of priests and peculiar people. We do lift up this baptism to you and ask that you bless it, simply showing your glory and your faithfulness to your church and your right to claim your own people, and that you will be with them and never forsake them. And again, we pray, Lord, that this would be a sign, seal, that you would make true and real for him, even now and in days to come. Just as John the Baptist left in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, when he was near Jesus in the womb of Mary, we pray that our son would already be weeping for you and loving you, and that he would increase his faith to maturity, that one day he would be taking the Lord's Supper with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God not only of us, but of our children, and we recognize your claim on our lives to commit ourselves to this child, to commit to him, to raise him for you, and not to neglect him, not to leave him to himself. We can take these vows before you seriously and ask that you help us to be faithful parents in following through with you by your grace. And we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I also have you be the bearer of the mandate? Not a prayer shawl, but what? I'm trying to be better about not soaking the tree too. I think it turns very slow when I can't see them. Maybe try to back a little bit. I'm sorry. I want to make sure I can reach it, isn't it? Okay. Praise the Lord. Gabriel, Samuel, Van Leeuwen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I usually like to take a bath. Come on, it's a little cold. Next, we have words for the congregation recognizing what we are all committing here as we follow through God's ordinance. As Gabriel Samuel Van Leeuwen is baptized into Christ and becomes a member of his visible church and this branch of it, this whole congregation is obligated to love him and receive him as a member of the body of Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and therefore are members of one another. Christ claims this little child as his own and calls you to receive him in love and commitment. Therefore, you want to commit yourself before God to assist Gabriel and we, his parents, in his Christian nurture by your godly example, prayer, and encouragement in our most precious faith. Now we have a charge for you to do, but I'll go ahead and read it, but something for you and I to keep in mind for that. Beloved in Christ Jesus, we give thanks to God for this child that has been given to you, and for your expressed desire for him to know the Lord and to follow him all his days. Along with the great blessing of the gift of this child have come responsibilities that you have just acknowledged and to which you have solemnly committed yourself. And I charge you to continue steadfastly in the commitments that you have made today before God and these witnesses, humbly relying upon the grace of God and the diligent use of the means of grace, especially the Word of God the sacraments, and prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do thank you for your covenant of grace, and we rejoice that this child has been included. We ask you, Lord God, to graciously enable him to be a covenant keeper, daily dying to sin, and walking in newness of life in Christ. May you always put upon his conscience, he will always live a life of either being a covenant keeper or a covenant breaker. Lord, he has no option. You have claimed him and you own him. We pray, Father, that you will call him to love you all his days and enable him by the Spirit, and again enable us all to help and nurture him as parents and as his brethren in the church, that he will be raised up to serve you mightily, that he will be raised by you to announce your glorious gospel, just as we think about his name, and the angel Gabriel who announced the birth of your Son, the coming of the Messiah, as he said, I stand in the presence of the Lord. O Lord God, hear as we are in your presence through the Holy Spirit and the intercession of Jesus Christ. We thank you and ask your blessing upon this child. We lift up this offering, this dedication of our child to you, and we thank you for him. And we do thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of our children. And we love you, and we love him, and we thank you that you have claimed him for yourself. Bless us with your grace to live out these vows, and bless him to grow and live out his life for you. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Okay, thank you. You can be seated if you don't mind. I haven't usually done this, but it's often a habit that the pastor would show the child to the congregation, and since it's my wife, I'll walk her back to the pew, and then I'll come back up if that's all right with you. So we'll walk together and show off our partner child. What's we have? Sure, sorry. Add to a cold water.
Praise the Lord. Beloved, as we continue in our worship service, I have a word for you, thinking of our son's baptism, having just marked him as part of the visible church. We pray it will also be true, the invisible church. And I have a message for you, thinking about this sacrament that we've just participated in together, a means of grace, not only for him, but for us. And I'd like to turn with you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for our scripture today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're only going to be looking at verses 1 and 2. And admittedly, this is a thematic sermon based on some things we learn here. I'm drawing some things out of the text. I'm not getting into the context. We've been here many times, especially in the book of Numbers. So just to explain to you, I won't be dealing with a lot of those details. I'm going to hone in and focus on a few truths that are given to us here if we have ears to hear. And I remember hearing a radio broadcast of some Reformed ministers on this text and thinking, wow, why haven't I noticed that before? We've shared it together, but I have been thinking and praying a lot what would be the scripture the Lord would have for us for Gabriel's baptism, and this just continued to be on my heart. I pray that it's the Lord's will for us to consider this today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Hear now the word of God. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Let me read that one more time. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It comes to mind to comment maybe a little bit on the context. It's interesting, Paul starts with this because what he's going to go on to do is point out how they are so often covenant breakers. And they face so much discipline and difficulty from God for breaking covenant. That's, I think, significant. He's setting this up. We're under obligation to the Lord for him making us his, all of us. But it's a blessing to be chosen by God and called out from the world. I want you to consider this. He's talking about how they passed through the Red Sea by the cloud, the pillar, God's presence. Imagine if the children were left behind upon the shore for the Egyptians to enslave as their parents passed through the Red Sea without them. Could you imagine? Could you imagine all the 10 plagues and the delivering of all the people through all these things? They've traveled now with their parents. They get to the Red Sea. God parts the waters of the Red Sea, but the parents say, "Child, I'm sorry, I must leave you behind. One day you will have to come to some age of accountability and figure out another way to follow. But for now, we have to go on without you." Imagine the toddlers there. Imagine the infants laid there as their parents would go on. Imagine them screaming and crying and shaking, only to be left there. You can consider how Moses was left in the basket to float upon the water so that Pharaoh's daughter would find him and raise him up to be this deliverer. You can imagine he was probably crying, being left there alone. Imagine little toddlers, 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, as their maybe even preteen brothers and sisters were there, shaking and holding one another, holding hands, tears coming down their eyes, looking out as mom and dad and others went ahead of them without them. Imagine the screams, imagine the cries, "Daddy! Mommy!" Shaking, sobbing, tears rolling down their faces. Well, that's not what happened. Why? Because the children were part of the community, the household and family of God. They were part of the church. Acts chapter 7, verse 38, Stephen, in his sermon, refers to these people in the Old Testament as the church, ecclesia. These children were there at Mount Sinai when the congregation went into formal covenant as a people and they were all sprinkled with the blood. These children were there at the Passover meal that saved the firstborn sons from death while the firstborn sons of Egypt cried out and died. These children were understood to be part of the covenant people. They were always there. They were always included. James Benjamin Green writes this: "In case of a covenant child, baptism is a rite," R-I-T-E. "Baptism is a rite, not of initiation, but of recognition." That's different than someone who's an adult who might come to faith for the first time. They are being recognized to be admitted into the church. But the children of believers are recognized already part of the church by their baptism. When we baptized Gabriel today, we were recognizing his birth to Christian parents, that because of Christian parents, God has made him federally holy, represented by them in the citizenship of the church. Again, just as you hear, just as we've talked about before, when a child is born into a country, they are understood to be part of that country of citizenship. Same with the church. I share with you an illustration that the girls heard when they were up at the church conference in Los Angeles last month. The pastor shared, a man I went to seminary with, the pastor shared, "Why do we baptize our children? Well, it's the same reason they take our name. It's possible that they may deny our name and change it later, but we put our name upon them naturally, expecting them to most likely continue to carry on the name and take it for themselves and live it out and identify with it. The same with baptism. We put the name of Christ on them, expecting them to grow up into it and keep the name for themselves. And we pray that that would be. Here our text, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2, teaches us a number of things that we can think about related especially to our covenant children as we've baptized one today. Let me read the text one more time, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Notice the word all. How many times do you see it there in the two verses? Three times, all of them. Now, when he says our fathers, remember this is many, many, many years later. They're looking back, so those children would be considered their spiritual fathers and frankly, to some, even ethnically fathers. But it's all of them, the children included, that he's referring to. All of them. All of them were under the cloud. All of them went through the Red Sea together as they were delivered out of Egypt. All of them were baptized. All of them were baptized unto Moses. Remember, the children were all there. Just as they were at Mount Sinai, just as they were there at the Passover meal, they were all there. They've always all been there. They're all there walking with the cloudy pillar. When it talks about the cloud, this is God's presence. Remember, the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, with the camp of Israel. All the children were there around the tent of God, the tabernacle. All the children were included, passing with God through the wilderness under the cloud. And all the children were there as they passed through the Red Sea. Now, both the cloud and the sea, the text tells us, both the cloud and the sea baptized them all. So the cloud and the sea baptized thus also the children. Now, first, it obviously was mist. It was not immersion. That could be another sermon, and we've talked about the mode of baptism, which has significance. But it was obviously not an immersion. The only people that were immersed were the Egyptians who God killed by the putting them underwater. The people were sprinkled. They had a mist, just a pouring upon their head. Now, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 to 22 to see the same idea. It says there that God baptized those who were in the ark by the flood. But remember, once again, whoever was immersed in water died as enemies of God. It was those in the ark who had a mist. You can think like the sea mist while you're by the ocean. The mist of the flood baptized them. But most importantly tonight, this morning, we consider that all of them were baptized by the cloudy pillar of God's presence and by going through the Red Sea. They were all baptized by God. Again, the cloud was God's presence. God was the one who parted the Red Sea. So it was God who baptized. And his baptism was upon all of them, including the children. It was his will to include the visible sign upon all of them, including the children, in the visible church. Naturally, you see the story through the book of Numbers. Not all of them proved to be true believers, but all of them, just like Ishmael was before Isaac, marked with the sign of the covenant of God's faithfulness to his visible church, as our confession teaches, out of which is no ordinary means of salvation. God works with visible means. He works within the visible church for his invisible elect church. Notice they were baptized unto Moses. All of them were baptized unto Moses. What does that mean, unto Moses? It's a figure of speech that means they identified with Moses, their leader, who delivered them from Pharaoh and Egypt in slavery. They identified with Moses, who was sent by God to make them the visible church, to take them out of Egypt and make them their own people, their own nation, and bring them into the promised land as God's people, a people who are to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a witness to the world, called out of the world. They were all baptized unto Moses. They were all identifying in union with the visible church, Moses as the representative, and also the figurative, typological representation of Jesus Christ. So as we continue to baptize, mark our children with the sign of the covenant, and anyone who would be part of the church, we are baptized unto the Messiah. We are baptized unto Christ, the visible church. We are identifying with him and not with this world. And God did that himself as the cloudy pillar and as the one who's parted the waters in the Red Sea. God himself baptized the children of the church unto Moses. So he continues to baptize the children of the church unto the Messiah whom Moses represented today. He delivered them out of Egypt and made them a people of God. Thus they were God's people. He owns them. He puts the mark of his ownership upon not only we, but our children. Not only us, but our children. So, beloved, your children should always be included in church. They should always include, that should always include them having the sign of God's ownership, the covenant sign. It was circumcision of infant boys at first, but now that Christ has come, just as with the Lord's Supper, there's no longer a bloody sacrifice and it expands to include others. So now it is baptism that also includes little girls and women if they're first generation believers. That is why Christ is called the minister of circumcision. Though we know we're no longer to circumcise our boys for religious purposes, Christ is called the minister of circumcision in Romans 15, verse 8. And this is why he is called the Passover, Christ our Passover, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. But we know that he changed the Passover meal into the Lord's Supper. And he changed some aspects of it because he has come. But the meaning and the continuity continues with a different visible aspect of the sign. I want to remind you what I highlighted in our OPC Black Book Directory of Worship for Baptism. It said this, in our baptism, the Lord puts his name on us, claims us as his own, and summons us to assume the obligation of the covenant. He calls us to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, to renounce the devil, the world, and the flesh, and to walk humbly with our God in devotion to his commandments. He claims us as his own, and thus he calls us to walk and live for him. So remember, as we looked at the Ten Commandments today, he says, I brought you, all of you, out of the land of Egypt, and here is my will for how you are to live as my called out people, separate from the world. And these are my Ten Commandments, summarizing all my law. And when he gave it again in Deuteronomy 5, it was to these children, now adults. The parents mostly dying off in the desert. And now the children who make it through the book of Numbers and grow up are now there in the plains of Moab and given the book of Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, before they go in the promised land. And he says it's the same. But in Deuteronomy 5, before he repeats the Ten Commandments, he says, I spoke to you, not to your parents, but to you. Children are always under the covenant in the church, and they're always to be seen as either covenant keepers or covenant breakers. But that is the identity they come into with life because God claims them as they're born into the church. Baptism, again, is something that God does as a sign of his ownership over his church, including its children, calling them out of the world to be faithful to him as he pledges in the sacrament to be faithful to the church and to our children, the Abrahamic covenant, the promise in Acts chapter 2. I want to remind you of what you sang this morning, Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Remember, Christ applied that in Matthew 21, verse 16, when the Pharisees were complaining, do you hear the children praising you? And they were just following the example of the adults as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He's in the temple. Do you hear what they're saying? They were singing the Psalms, parts of the Psalms that particularly highlighted the Messiah. Thus, the children were recognizing, this is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees are complaining about what the children are singing. And Jesus says, haven't you heard? And he quotes Psalm 8, verse 2, and he changes the words a little bit and applies it this way. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Matthew 19, verse 14, remember, suffer the children to come to me. The disciples are trying to keep them away. Suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the kingdom of heaven. The pillar of cloud was Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, leading them all, including the children, through the Red Sea. It was Jesus parting the waters in their presence, baptizing with him the cloud, baptizing them with the midst of the Red Sea, including the children. He included them in baptism. He included them as part of the church. He recognizes them all with the sign of the covenant people. He adopts them all. He does not abandon the children. So, instead of the children being left on the shore of the Red Sea, crying alone and abandoned while watching their parents pass through the walls of water without them, instead of that, they were walking with them. They were holding their daddy's hand as they looked with wonder at each side of these walls. I don't know, maybe seeing fish and whales swimming on both sides of them, like the aquariums we go to today. They were holding daddy's hand and asking questions probably, or daddy saying, shh, walk, let's go. Some of them, the little ones, were cradled in their mother's arms or held over their shoulders while they were maybe sleeping unaware and yet being baptized. Feeling the mist, of God's presence with his church upon their foreheads. And joining afterward in the celebration on the other side of the Red Sea in Exodus 15 with Moses' song and then the leadership of Miriam with the women and the tambourines. Wow, national praise, recognizing, celebrating that God had given them victory over the Egyptians as they looked back and saw that the waves of water that had been their deliverance was what actually crushed and killed the Egyptians who had come to try to take them back and put them in slavery. And there were no children of the covenant left behind there to be brought back in chains. Rather, they're on the other side with their parents, celebrating, thanking God to be part of the people of God, to be called out of that slavery of the world and unto a holy people. They sung of their great God with their parents who had delivered them all and who owned them all. And so still today, beloved, God owns the church's children. And that is the message for you. As we consider the covenant sign placed upon the child with praying for God's blessing, God owns Gabriel Samuel. He is not a child of the world. He has the privilege and blessing of being born into a covenant family of part of the covenant church. And God has said today, I own my church. I am a God of you and of your seed. I am a God not only of you, but also of your children. And God has marked him and claimed his ownership over him for Christ. And he's called all of us to be committed to raise him with us, going along the way, not leaving him or any of our covenant children behind, baptizing him just as God baptized their children, all of them. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do recognize that you own our children. You own the children of the church. Let us raise them as Christians and not as earthlings. Let us raise them as Israelites and not as Philistines. Those are the only two options. And you really give us no option. You claim our children. This is simply recognizing that he is yours by virtue of being born into a federally holy family through Christian parents and this Christian church. Lord Jesus, we have obeyed your ordinance to baptize and make disciple of Gabriel, to raise him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We pray, Lord, again, that you would bless your ordinance, that you would bless this means of grace to be used to help us all improve upon our baptism, and that he would be looking back and improving upon his baptism as he grows older, that he would say, as Luther said, the way I know that I will not die, the way that I will not give in to Satan's temptations, the way that I have affirmation and courage is to say, I am baptized. I am baptized. This is my identity. I am claimed by Christ. I am not of this world. Let us all remember to claim this claim upon our lives and be thankful that you have not left us nor our children in the world as slaves to the principalities of this world. You've shown yourself to be the only true God, and you've called us out from this world with our children. You have baptized us. You have put your mark of ownership upon us because of your covenant to be a God to us and to our people. The promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fulfilled in the seed, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. We lift up the name of Jesus. We bow before King Jesus, and we obey your command, and we offer up our children to you and not to the gods of Molech. We offer up our children to the living God, and we are thankful for your smile upon them, saying, don't keep them from me. Bring them to me to bless them with my hands upon them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Thus, O Lord, may we be called upon you by you to worship you indeed with a childlike faith and to worship you with our children, for you, Lord God, own the church's children. And we humbly acknowledge this today, and we joyfully recognize it. And again, we ask for your grace to let all these things be means of grace for the growth of all of us, including Gabriel. We thank you, Lord, that though we would pray, you would continue to add to our church from those outside, that you also grow the church from within, and especially from within through our children. We pray, Lord God, that you will use all of our covenant children to reach the world for Christ and to proclaim the name of Christ all their days. And on the last great day at your return, that their names would be written in the book of life as they look to you, the author and finisher of salvation and faith. We close as your disciples as we will teach our children to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.